In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all fear judgment, don't we? We fear God's judgment when we die. We fear people's judgment in our daily lives, every single day. We think thoughts like, will the people at school like me? Will they reject me? Will the bullies at work in my office, will they sneer at me again? Or raise their eyebrows like they always do? Will the ladies at church, will they accept me? Or will they snub me once more? Will my own family members, will they continue to treat me like they wished I wasn't there? All these things are forms of judgment that we all endure at one time or another. And that word judgment is a word that has such negative connotations for us. We fear that word and that concept, and we say, please don't judge me. Some people, of course, claim that they don't even think about it. They don't care what other people think. And so in confidence, they act as though they've never thought twice about other folks and what they think of them. But even the confident, or those who are blessedly ignorant, even they hurt when people judge them and reject them. And so no matter how much attention you pay to what other people think about you, we all fear judgment, especially God's judgment. And many people try not to think about it, or they tell themselves that God doesn't even exist, or that he really is just a nice old man in a white beard who pats you on the head and says you tried hard, and so therefore it's okay, and no one's perfect after all. But such feeble attempts to blot out God's judgment don't get us away from the fact that he is a judge, and that he is coming again to judge us. And that's what Advent is. It's a time of preparation for our Lord's coming again. And why is he coming? He's coming to judge us. And that's scary. Even Christians who know that Jesus came to save them from their sins often doubt whether they are truly forgiven. Repent of such thoughts. Because such thoughts that you're not truly forgiven as a Christian who has been baptized, who receives the Lord's Supper, who's heard the holy absolution that you heard earlier today, such thoughts are based on false teaching that you can save yourself, that you can believe enough for yourself so that God will love you, that God has not done all for you when he sent his Son the first time, that you can make yourself miserable enough so that God has to forgive you because you've suffered enough for your sins. That your sins are so much worse than other people's sins. That your sins can't be forgiven. That Jesus could not possibly have paid for your sins with his innocent suffering and death because yours are so bad. Oh, there's a whole variety of false teachings that we cling to out there. But repent of all of them, because all such thoughts are foolishness and arrogance. And the only judgment that matters is God's. Not your judgment, not other people's judgments, not your thoughts or your feelings about all such things, because all your thoughts and feelings, no matter what they are, whether they're right or wrong, they will shrivel up and they will fade on that day. Only Almighty God's judgment will stand on that day, because his word will stand forever. And the word spoken over you when you were baptized, the word spoken over you at the altar, the word spoken over you as you kneel confessing that you are a sinner and you hear Christ's forgiveness through the voice of your pastor, that judgment, that word will stand on that day. And that's the purpose of all whose job it is to prepare the way of the Lord. We, just like John the Baptist, call to repentance. And then when repentance occurs, we speak comfort. For repentance and the forgiveness of sins is the message of those who are sent by Jesus Christ. Not any other sorts of messages that people claim are the Christian message out there, like have your best life now, here's 10 quick steps to live a fulfilling life. None of those things. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins is the message of God Almighty in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is the message then that St. Paul served. No one else's judgment mattered to Paul except his Lord who had declared him righteous. He declared him righteous not on account of his own works or his own merits. He declared him righteous on account of Jesus Christ's works and merits that had been given to Paul in his holy baptism, that had been given to him in the Lord's Supper and in holy absolution. And those are the three ways that Christ comes to you. And Christ makes his light shine in the dark corners of your heart. This is how he calls you to repentance and gives you himself. This is how he examines you and makes all things known to himself so that he might uncover your sin and that he might cut it out with surgical skill, that surgical skill of a life-giving surgeon, the great physician. And then he saves you from your sin and covers your sin with the life-giving bandages of his own righteousness. And so on that last day, he will commend you. He will praise you. He will declare that his judgment of you, that you were right with God. You are right with God. And that was John's purpose in sending his own disciples to our Lord. They were still clinging to John the Baptist. And they needed instead to cling in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. John did not doubt that Jesus was truly the Christ, even though he was in prison, even though that he knew that he would die there, that he wouldn't get out of prison. He had proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And some of his disciples had followed Jesus as soon as John had said that. But many of his disciples still clung to John. And John knew that he must decrease and that the Lord must increase. John knew that his disciples, though they clung to him in love and in faithfulness to John, he knew that they had misplaced their love. For Jesus was the Savior, not John. John was merely the forerunner sent to prepare them for he who had come, for Jesus. And John knew the works of the Lord. He knew Jesus was the Christ, that the Christ is the living God who heals, who cleanses and speaks good news to the poor, both the poor in body and in soul, so that blind people see and lame people walk, the soiled are cleansed and the deaf hear and dead live, all through this mighty word of the Lord preached to them. John knew that. John knew whom Jesus was. His disciples also needed to know it and to believe it. For John's purpose was to preach so that Jesus was believed upon and trusted in and worshipped as God Almighty, come to save sinners. John came to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. That was his purpose. And that's how the way of the Lord is prepared, by the good news being proclaimed to those who don't have it. Hence, they are poor. They need Jesus. They don't have them, and so the word of Jesus has to be proclaimed to them. His way is prepared by that call to repent and to turn from your dead works and to trust in Christ, the living one. And this is not a message that changes from age to age. It's not a message like someone who's a reed shaking in the wind, shaking this way when the wind blows this way, and as soon as the wind changes, shaking that way. It's not anything like that. John is steadfast. The message is steadfast. It's eternal and unchanging. It's not influenced by the powerful. And this is why, like John, preachers of this message are rarely found in king's palaces. They're rarely found in the soft clothing of palaces and places of power. For this message cannot be influenced by all such earthly fading powers. Rather, this message is only found in the mouths of prophets sent by the Lord to proclaim it. And you can't tell such prophets by their clothing. whether they wear the rough clothing of John the Baptist or the soft clothing of someone in a king's palace, you can only tell them by their preaching. And they will judge you with their preaching. They will call you to repentance. And then, more importantly, they will comfort you with a new judgment, a judgment that says, forgiven, righteous, holy, ready for the Lord's coming. That's the comfort that John and all such prophets proclaim. That's the good news that they preach to the poor. And so this Christmas, be comforted. Be free of the fear of judgment, for the only judgment that matters has already been heard by you this day. You know in advance what our Lord will say to you when He comes again. So believe it, for in Christ you are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.